This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
All right, my talkers, 5 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. We are hanging out with Lori and Julia. The crew is back together. We have had a pretty good show so far, and we're going to have an even better one moving forward. Right, guys?
What'd you say?
We've had a pretty darn good show so far, and we're going to have an even better one moving forward.
Yeah, we're just discussing things we can't discuss on the air, off the air.
And nobody's microphone is on.
You're wondering about something. Grant. Okay, it's so true. It's so true. So yesterday, Julia, voting for the Oscar noms ended yesterday.
Yes.
And the nominations will be announced on Tuesday. And ahead of all of that, due to Cate Blanchett's insufferable speech at the Critics' Choice Award, there was a last-minute push from several Hollywood actors to nominate Andrea Riseborough for Best Actress for a movie that no one has seen called To Leslie. And Cate specifically shouted out Andrea Riseborough in her speech on, I mean, I swear, if this messes with Michelle Yeoh's chances, I'm going to lose my mind.
So here's my thing about her, is that why doesn't she just do what Meryl Streep did when you're, please don't nominate me, I don't want it. Why not just do that? It's simple. It's classy. Yeah. You're not poo-pooing the whole event because other people haven't won 25,000 Academy Awards, Emmys, Golden Globes, BAFTAs, blah, 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 that you have.
Right.
Just let everyone else have their fun. Just say, I do not want to be in. But think of the producers of the movie Tar and the people who spent money on that damn movie that no one wants to see.
Right.
That she's getting nominated for. That's pissing all of us off anyway because we're not even going to see it.
She didn't give that speech at the Golden Globes a week ago Tuesday night. She waited till Sunday night and closing for the, because I wanted the Oscar voters to pay attention to her speech. But, you know, a lot of, you know, maybe a lot of people wait the last minute to turn in their ballots or whatever. But I was like, please listen to Cate and stop nominating her in horse races.
Please stop. Yeah. I mean, think of how mad, though, the people who produced that movie and worked on the movie Tar about her being the leader of an orchestra, which I think Chris Hewitt liked, though.
I think he liked her performance. Somebody had the Star Tribune Variety said, how badly did our movie critic Chris Hewitt hate the new Hugh Jackman movie, The Son? And Chris answered a question for those who are curious, what is the difference between a 1-star and a 0-star movie?
Oh, thank you.
He said, for me, the difference between a 1-star and a 0-star movie is that the latter is not just bad, but offensive.
And it's with Hugh Jackman. This is our son. Yeah, with Hugh Jackman. I mean, in the headline, what was his headline today? It was so good.
Yeah. And
speaking.
Yes.
Okay, I've got something for us.
And he said Bill Nye is really, really good. But Chris Hewitt did say, you know, a lot of these movies that are getting tossed around, like Bill Nye for Living, they haven't even opened here.
Right. It's ridiculous.
They're just opening.
Okay, so here's one that is opening everywhere, and it's opening on Amazon Prime Video on January 27th. That's Shotgun Wedding.
J-Lo was on Kimmel last night wearing a nightgown with baby doll shoes in white. I just hated her outfit. Her whole, was so bad. And then what she wore at the premiere and then the after party. I don't know what the heck is going on with her, but Lenny Kravitz came in. They pretended he'd landed on a helicopter because remember, he's got a small cameo.
Very small. And Shotgun Wedding. All right, let me just tell you the headline.
Okay. She was delightful on
Kimmel. She was darling on Kimmel. Her outfit, we really both.
We posted it. Wow. I don't know. That was Valentino she wore on the red carpet.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what designer it is sometimes.
It's so bad.
It was so bad. It looked like it belonged on, I don't know what it was.
It looked like a really, really fancy sheet. Nylon. And it also
that she
looked
crisscrossed.
Like, it also looked like mosquito netting. And nylon, it could be what someone puts on after they just were in the thunder from down under.
It was a bad outfit. I didn't like it at all. Okay.
No.
If only J-Lo had said, I don't.
Oh, no.
Shotgun wedding was proposed so long ago that Lopez has been matched with three different partners. Her first co-star was Ryan Reynolds, who dropped out, now remains solely as an executive producer. He was replaced by Armie Hammer, whose personal controversies took him to the sideline. Somehow, Josh Duhamel caught the bouquet, leaving him with the thankless role of Tom, a groomzilla who pays more attention to his pineapple centerpieces than to his fed-up fiancé. The screenwriter, there's no need for any screenwriter to rehash lazy wedzilla tropes ever again, regardless of gender. But Tom's stress is a little understandable with two demanding families, blah, blah, blah. So here's what they say about it. I just love this.
Somehow, I'm offended by somehow. Josh Duhamel is a icon.
Well,
I love him.
He'll
always
be Leo from all my children. And the guy from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
But he has not really done much since Las Vegas.
Well, the Transformers franchise was big for him, which he got from Vegas. But you're right. He's just a local.
We thought he was going to be a movie star like Garrett Hedlund.
Well,
he lost
out on Kelso. He was supposed to be Kelso on that 70s show, and Ashton Kutcher got that role. He didn't. That led to his role in Las Vegas.
Okay, well, here's what they just say.
They
hated it. As the couple fight before the main event, a group of local pirates rushes in and takes over. Crazy things happen, but it says, it's safe to assume that Lopez truly does love weddings. This is the fourth movie she's made with reference of marriage in the title. Ooh. And it's commendable that she stuck with the project when she made in Manhattan. Doesn't have a wedding.
Okay. That wasn't wedding related?
It was, but it wasn't with marriage in the title.
Oh, in the title, yeah.
Grant could look him up. But if you walked down the aisle, which is anyone, and the loss of two leading men might have been a sign that the whole affair wasn't meant to be. Basically, they said that these two have, they both have incredible charisma, but nothing together.
Together, no chemistry. They don't even seem...
Coolidge saves the day.
She does, okay.
There you go.
With her Daffy delightfulness.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's shotgun these, wedding.
I mean,
you can't. When I watched the trailer, I did not believe that those two were a couple.
No,
that's the hardest part. The story seemed okay. Seemed kind of like
first
a fun.
First of all,
like
Josh would never date someone as old as Jennifer.
That's very true. That's very true.
You're so funny.
Keep it above the belt.
What we're gonna see is this new resort in the Dominican Republic that we're gonna fall in love with.
Okay.
Well,
that must be why she's doing very little promotion for it. She just was on Kimmel. Ben didn't even walk the red carpet with her. And rather than talking about the movie, she spent her whole time on Kimmel talking about
her first wedding,
her Vegas wedding. Mm-hmm. And
I turned it off because I was thinking after commercial, she'd come back and talk about it, but she didn't.
No, that's how bad the movie is. They just are talking about her wedding. So this is a perfect plain movie.
Right.
Yeah. This movie, Shotgun Wedding. Mm-hmm. I won't waste the time at home on it.
I watched that silly one with the Butterscotch Stallion in her last year.
Oh, I heard that was so bad. I don't even think that's plain worthy.
Wow.
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 Wow. Man.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Anyway. You know what's a good movie that I saw with another Wilson brother, Luke?
Mm-hmm.
It's called, and it came out during COVID, 12 Mighty Orphans, and it's based on a true story about this orphanage, and they kind of make an incredible football team in Texas.
Oh, really?
During the 20s, I think.
Yeah.
PTSD, Luke Wilson kind of has, and it's a feel-good movie called 12 Mighty Orphans. Loved it.
People love their football movies. That sounds like
a good
one.
It was really good.
Yeah.
You know, I just love those.
It was like a dog movie, Hachi. That was my big discovery.
Oh, yeah, about the Shiba Inus.
Richard Gere.
Yeah.
So good. And then Rob Lowe's in one called Dog Gone.
Wait, is Hachi cartoony?
No, Hachi's the name of a dog, the Japanese.
Shiba Inus.
What's it called?
Shiba Inu.
Yeah, Shiba Inu. They are the cutest
dogs. Is this
dogs.
A new movie?
Hachi? It came out maybe in September, but Richard Gere's in it. And It's, you know, a man, a family learns a lesson from their dog.
Wait a minute. You said, when did this come out?
Did it come out this September?
No.
How long ago? Hachi
came out in
1996.
No, 2009. Hachi, a Dog Tale was 2009.
With Richard Gere?
Yeah, Richard Gere. Oh, good Lord. Joanne Allen is in it.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander from Seinfeld is in it.
Yeah, this movie came out. We just loved it. We thought it was a fresh movie. Netflix promotes it like it's
well, because it's on the hot takes.
Yeah,
it's amazing how they can put things in their circulation. That's so Hachi.
I was like, why do I love Shiba Inus? And I'm like, I have not heard of this movie. So I finally Googled it.
Yeah.
A Shiba Inu.
Yeah. Shiba Inu. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that is so funny.
Well, you know, we all have those moments. It's okay.
Roger Freeman wants everyone to know that he told us a year ago a Michael Jackson movie was coming. And he's not happy about it. He said,
too soon?
He said, Antoine Fuqua has never directed a musical or movie with music. It's not even clear.
Nope.
He makes gritty movies, so this should be unusual. And doing this kind of movie, if it's going to be soup to nuts, is going to be problematic. It's better to do what like Whitney Houston's did. Just pick a moment in time.
Right.
He said, with Michael, everything after Thriller will be a huge downer. Do we want to see a movie that includes lawsuits, arrests, and trials? He just said he's not thinking, you know, this is, unless they pick a moment in time like they did with Whitney. Right. Or like with Elvis, they just pick a specific period.
Or Elton John, you just said
Elton John, we had that. So yeah, don't
That's
try.
That's the way to do a biopic.
That's the way to do
what
it.
What has to stop before any of the, who would go?
Right. Get a child actor, like who could do young Michael. Because you get young
Michael. The guy from Broadway.
Huh?
From the Michael Jackson thing on Broadway that won the Tony.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. So anyway, he's kind of wondering about that. And Prince Harry's Spare is number one on the New York Times bestseller list, breaking records globally. And apparently, I don't know how we missed this, but Lisa Marie Presley got a $500,000 advance, and she was working on her memoirs.
Just like Prince.
Honest
Pete.
So we don't know how much was written or whatever, but that was the thing, and maybe they kept that quiet.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe she was right. It was a way to deal with her grief.
Exactly. So, anyway, wow. Yeah, that's what I know in book news.
Thank you. And you posted Lessons in Chemistry.
Oh,
I already read that.
Yeah, I know you did, but I bought Harry and Lesson. I said we tried to get the authors on there, nowhere to be found.
I love that Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah, everybody does.
It's a great book.
I'm behind the eight ball on that one. All right, listen, we'll be right back with the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Brent, what have you brought us today for our 5:15?
Yes, let's go back to the story that we can't get enough of. We talked about this earlier in the show, but it has to be talked about again because it's such a big story. A year after the tragic shooting on the set of Rust, we now have some official charges being brought forth to Alec Baldwin and Hannah Gutierrez Reed, who is the film's head armor. So they have been charged with involuntary manslaughter due to their negligence, allegedly, on the set of Rust.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is just like not, I guess it's surprising and not surprising, but they had the FBI. They did a very thorough investigation.
They did.
Alec Baldwin should have listened to his attorney and never done those interviews. Not only did he do the interview with George Stephanopoulos, but he also, like, didn't he do some podcasts?
He did his own podcast.
He kept at it,
and I've always said it was like a child that got in trouble that just won't stop trying to explain themselves, because it makes them like try to have some sort of,
then that seems suspicious.
So here's something. The SAG-AFTRA, you know, the union of all the actors, calls Russ criminal charges wrong and uninformed, without mentioning Alec Baldwin. Actors Guild argues that an actor's job is not to be a firearms and weapons expert.
So
they've released their statement.
Wow, that's surprising.
And they said that cinematographer Helena Hutchins was not a failure of duty or criminal act on the part of any performer. The prosecutor's contention that an actor has a duty to ensure the function and mechanical operation of firearm and a protection set is wrong and uninformed.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Wow. It's an actor's job not to be a firearms or weapons expert.
I agree with you 100%, which then puts the fall on Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. Yes. But he lied blatantly on this interview, which does, in my eyes, in my personal opinion,
what bring did he him, lie that
he said that he never pulled the trigger. The FBI has done a thorough investigation. They said there's no way that you couldn't have done it. So, yes, it isn't his.
He tried to say the gun just went off on its hand. Own.
So it's. He isn't technically, in my eyes, like at fault, but the way he handled it, you have to tie him into this situation.
I guess there's two schools of thought on that, because I remember when George Clooney said, I've been around guns on sets, I've been involved. I personally never took anyone else's word for what was going on in a gun.
Right.
I looked at it myself. Yep. He said, there's two ways of looking at it. He said, but I wanted to make sure. That, and I think he name dropped, and somebody tweeted us earlier today, John Eric Hexum, who was an actor like in the mid 80s. Mm. And he was supposed to be the big next thing. He was in this Dynasty movie with Joan Collins, or not a Dynasty, a movie with Joan Collins. Anyway, he was in a movie, and the movie was like he was playing Russian roulette, and he shot and killed himself because there was a live bullet in the gun.
And
so Clooney was just like, if you're with guns, and other actors came to be on Clooney's side of it, and then there's other actors who are like, no, that's everybody else's job. It's just my job to act. And Clooney's like, if you got a gun, you need to look.
But at the it's like an art world. We have mics around us all. This is not very, but like, you know, you have a hot mic around you. You got to know when to double check things. You know, it's just, I kind of like what George Clooney said there. And his lawyer has come out to say that Mr. Baldwin has no reason to believe that there was a live bullet in the gun or anywhere on the movie set. So going back to what you said, Julia, he is not technically in charge of that. And they will fight these charges. Mm-hmm. And according to his lawyer, they say they will win. So
it was an accidental.
It was an accidental death.
Yes. Inflicted, but how did a live bullet get in there?
And,
you know, we know it was a sloppy movie set. People left because of previous gun incidents with live, real ammo.
Yep, yep.
I mean, it's tragic all the way around. But I want to thank, I forget who said, but they're like, John Eric Hexum.
Right. That's a great reference.
He was, thought he was, it was like a scene in the movie.
Sure.
And then he killed himself on the set doing of that roulette, movie in 1984.
Playing roulette, isn't that Russian roulette?
Whatever it was.
Yeah. It could have. Tragic, sad, all around. Hopefully this all gets worked out.
Well, it's not. It is not.
No, it's
going to go on for a while. But we'll see, because they said they were going to have this movie continue onward, and they were going to do it in her honor. That's not going to happen. There's no way.
And Hexum didn't die until like 6 days later.
Oh.
From that injury.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, should we move on into another unfortunate, tragic thing that has come out today. We just learned no more than an hour ago that David Crosby, the amazing singer, has passed away at the age of 81.
Yeah, singer-songwriter. The Birds.
The Birds in 64. Yeah, that's when he started out. And, you know, he also did Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And let's just play just one little bit of this was David. This is Crosby, Stills, and Nash working on, I believe it was Paul Simon's song. They did a little kind of harmonizing of the song.
Really? Okay.
Paul Simon is a part of this.
Darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here.
When was this? Gosh,
this is in 2009.
Wow.
Yes, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they were inducted, because Crosby has been inducted as a solo artist and his efforts with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Mm. They had a beautiful,
just amazing.
Yeah, so sad news there. Like I said, he was 81 years old.
I feel like he was such a soundtrack to the Vietnam era, too.
100%.
Turn, and Mr. Tambourine Man, and all that.
Everything.
All that music.
You can combine that with a little helicopter, and it's like you're right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean that because I never was, but my dad would say that if I was talking to him. You know?
And I think David Crosby talked about that like a lot of, you know, Vietnam vets were like, your music was everything.
Yeah.
When we were in country.
Yeah.
Because you relied on Armed Forces Radio.
Yeah.
The DJs. I mean, that was your connection.
Good morning, Vietnam! Another great movie with the late Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Well, we have an alleged story right now. Back to Escandalo here. This is allegedly now. Okay. It looks like TJ Holmes seduced an ABC script coordinator after she had reached out to him for help as she settled in her new job. Now, she is 13 years younger than him, and she was only 24 years old at the time. This is all allegedly now.
This must be coming from inside the building because ABC is wrapping up their thing. And the story was that TJ maybe had messed around with people who were his interns, like Matt Lauer, taking advantage of his position. And that was the thing that ABC wanted to look at when they got wind that he so blatantly had the affair with the married producer.
Right.
On the same level. Then they wondered, any junior level people? Wow. We got a problem.
13-year difference there. She said that she felt very confused and uncomfortable after the situation. Dear. The employee, quote, this is from a close source within.
Well, I don't think he should be feeling so confident.
I would not be at all. That's for sure. That's for sure. That's your My Talk Dirt Alert.
Thanks, Grant.
Thank you, guys. Let's take a look at your.
We've got that is.
God, I have got good news for poop.
Pooping? Okay, you already talked about his pooping.
I've often wondered, this has just been my own little thing. I thought, with all the fertilizing that's going on with animals and everything, why haven't they figured out a way to harness all the people poop?
Some places.
Remember the movie The Martian? He did.
Yes.
Matt Damon did. Yeah.
But finally, an international team has figured out a way to recycle human waste that is safe, effective, and provides an excellent alternative to chemicals which harm the environment, and it could fight global warming in this way. So they're very excited at the University of Hohenheim in Stuttgart about this. They've practiced it. They've done trials in Switzerland, Austria. Of course, they've recycled, you know, wastewater on Moon and Mars breaks and all of that. But they found that human poop would be excellent fertilizer, and you don't really need to do that much to it.
Well, they do that with
cows. Cow manure.
Yeah, cow manure, and they spread
but cows,
that.
Cows, you know, like, I mean, we're always going to have that, but like, there's so much
poop from people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That
own
they
it,
could do.
It.
Why don't we, like, instead of sending them to the treatment plants and all these water facilities, let's, like you said, separate.
I think they're working on that.
Yeah. That's cool.
And also, you know, just kind of unrelated, not related, but greener fertilizers would bring down prices because the war in Ukraine has caused prices to soar because they are the breadbasket of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they are currently under, you know,
a horrible
situation.
With that horrible man.
Anyway, they're like, we can do so. They're working on it. The scientists feel very close to being able to do this.
And
that the human poop may save the planet. You know.
Hey.
So let's hope so.
It saved Matt Damon on Mars.
That's
so why not start now on Earth?
Now, video games. Okay. Know them, love them.
Oh, I saw this study.
Did you see this? Yeah,
I'm filing this under.
I got this under. Where did I read this?
Tell me about this.
Every young man in the world is going to give this to their parents. I've been reading.
Oh, yes. Because it's good for their reading.
Video? No. And video game players can boost their score by exercising. Because parents don't like these inactive sports. They don't have a lot to do with physical fitness. But a new documentary explains how exercise can boost your performance level in the gaming world. Working out specifically helps your brain's ability to think.
So no matter
what you do, working out is good. It raises
it's everything, but yes. It helps you. So give your this mind to your is kids. Significant. You'll be better at video games if you work out.
That's right. Your mind will be significantly sharper.
There was a new study. Yeah, exactly.
And it'll improve by 10%.
Yeah, your hand-eye coordination is better. Mm-hmm. They were saying that because a lot of times, you know, video games, the old term was they'll rot your brains out, right? Like that was what they always told kids. I'm not a video game player, but I read this study, I think yesterday, that it talks about how, you know, limited amounts, not all day long.
Yeah.
It will increase hand-eye coordination, the ability to retain information, your quickness, your eye, because you have to use your eyes. You can read faster.
Yeah.
It brings out a lot of things.
A lot of good things.
And the money that is being made in the e-world, the e-game sports is unbelievable. So get your kids involved if you want a little retirement paycheck.
Well, I mean, they just showed the gamers' cognitive function improved by an average of 10% by just doing some exercising, whether it's a bike run, a walk, or whatever.
But it
just helped because it really does sharpen your mind.
There you go.
And remember we talked about this, the study with Alzheimer's dementia, where the people did the ballroom dancing versus just the walking on the treadmill, and how because at ballroom dancing you have to remember steps.
Yes.
You're involved with another person in it. How it just works so much better.
Cool. Same thing, Julia.
Try
exactly.
Something new. Exercise. Drink water. Too much. You don't need 8 glasses today. You need what your body needs.
Yeah.
What else have we learned lately?
Well, you know, this is, okay, speaking of aging, I mean, I want people to get a hold of themselves and just swear that you're going to start with today, but you are not going to have one negative thought about yourself today and tomorrow. You're going to think the same thing because negative thoughts speed up brain aging. It is so bad for you.
Like negative thoughts about yourself or just anything?
Negative thoughts about, basically. I mean, no, we're
like
not
the
talking.
World is falling, Charlie.
We're not talking about, you know, having a bout of depression, something that may be unavoidable.
Sure.
But these new findings at neuroscientists at the University of Geneva, and it was published in Nature Aging Journal, observed how the brains of both young and older adults activated when confronted with the psychological suffering of others. So negative emotions felt by older people, anyway, it leads to the speeding up of your brain getting older, because they're trying to discover what's the difference between normal and pathological aging.
Right.
So people that are, you know, always having negative thoughts about themselves, about the world,
right,
about other people, they're always half glass full.
Glasses empty.
Yeah, versus the empty. Whereas people who tried to look on the positive
side,
saw the positive thing, even at a young age, it really makes a difference. And so maybe
I love that.
Mindful meditation is a way to go. But it's hard for people sometimes to get out of the rut of their emotional regulation and letting themselves have these
talk themselves down.
Having these talks about this, you know, to yourself, saying it to yourself, thinking about others, it's very bad for you.
It's a slippery slope. Once you start going, you start having those thoughts, then you start bringing up another one, and then it's hard.
Yes, I really had to skim over that because the Deutsche Zentrum for Neurodegenerative Erkrankungen, the last author,
Erkrankungen,
who did this study, They wanted to know so many things. How does the brain switch from one emotion to another? How does it go back to its initial state? Does emotional variability change with age? What are the consequences for the brain of mismanagement of emotions? Whoa. It just got to be
that sounds like a
too
lot.
Much. Too deep. So I just thought, negative thoughts speed up brain.
That's aging. Just a great headline. Yeah. An exercise if you want to be better at gaming.
Yeah, probably at anything.
I like that. I would have totally never thought that exercising would have helped.
Exercising the game. Helps everything.
Everybody, yeah, but it's just it does.
I swear, like it's just it.
I really wished we'd trademarked snackercising.
I know it, honey.
Now the world is on. To
I know it.
Snackercising.
I went on my honeymoon, mm-hmm. walking from our room to where you get coffee or food and back.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a snackercising.
It was almost a half mile.
Uh-huh. Oh, I mean, great snackercise.
I mean, it was a nice exercise. So I would just go on. Little jaunties.
Yeah.
That's
and
the
I
best.
Would say I would say to you know, like at when we stay at the Westin Hapuna, if you're up like on a eighth or ninth floor and from the beach, you're like two elevator rides and several staircases. Yeah. It is a good healthy snack.
It's a great thing.
Even though very often my snack exercise was going to the room to bring back some kind of poo-poo or d'oeuvre cocktail.
Poo-poos in Hawaii, lanais, our balconies. Yeah. I used to do this when the kids were little at the cabin. I'd always, you know, the times I ran up and down from the boat to the cabin because I would volunteer because it was a workout. Because it's straight up a hill, Grant.
Right.
It's straight up a hill.
I'll go get it.
I got it. I got it.
I'm not going to have time later because I'm feeding all these people.
I'll go get it. I mean, because
it sneak it in when you can.
It was good exercise.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, gosh. All right. Well, thank you, honey.
All right. That's it. That's all I got for theories today. We did have some X-rated theories that were told in the double wide today, but nothing that we can share today.
I don't think so.
That's true.
I don't think so. No,
that was too private.
I know. That'll be
too private,
another
too
day.
Juicy, only for people that were around. All right. We'll be right back.
Good day.
It's a good day.
For Flo Rida.
No, that's
apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur. She had the whole world looking at her.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
The floor.
She hit the floor.
Next thing we know, baby got
Did he win his
lawsuit? He won $82 million lawsuit against Celsius Energy Drinks.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He was awarded this because he signed an endorsement deal with Celsius that promised him stock options and bonuses, but they did not honor it. He signed this deal with them in 2014, but in 2021, he sued them, claiming he wasn't given the stock options or other bonuses they promised him. He also said the contract was purposely vague so that Celsius could avoid paying him those bonuses. The jury found that Celsius breached the 2014 deal and fraudulently concealed information from Flo Rida.
Good. I'm glad he won.
I think so. Lily Tomlin's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight.
Oh, she is?
She is.
I wonder what she's doing. 80 for Brady, I suppose.
Yes.
Yep, yeah. That's it.
80 for Brady. Harry Hamlin was on with Jason on his TV show this morning.
Well, I watched Mayfair Witches.
Oh, I've only seen the first one. Did you watch the second one?
I haven't watched the second one yet.
It was good.
Haven't seen any.
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. You know, but Julie and I were fans of that book.
Yeah.
So it's just... I mean, and that book came out in the '80s or whatever it was, but
it's a really supernatural feel, right?
Oh yeah, very much so.
If I like the show Supernatural, do you think I can?
Yes.
I thought it was kind of good. You know, the Australian Open is on right now, and I just want to give a shout out.
Excited that Jason got to talk to.
Oh, we got to talk to Harry this morning.
Did he ask him about Lisa Rinna?
He said something, you know, we haven't seen you around. How do you feel about your renaissance? You know, and he said, I made a decision when the girls were young, until they were out of L.A. or our home, I was going to be home.
Yeah.
And Jason said something nice about Lisa. And he said, my lovely wife keeps me young and makes me wear moisturizer or something like that. Yeah, it was really cute. It was cute.
Right.
It was cute.
That sent such shockwaves when she was finally... Well, you know, she said she quit, but she was not, her contract wasn't renewed.
No, it wasn't renewed. And then next week, I think on January 24th, Amy Klobuchar's thing about Ticketmaster is they're going to start a hearing on it.
Oh, good.
So that's kind of great news that they're going to look at that and why they charge us the $19,000 million fees for nothing. For not even a ticket.
It's what they used to call highway robbery back in the day.
Lori, I love it. I love it.
Coming tonight, I'll be interested if anyone takes a peek at this. We love Alan Cumming. Okay, he had such a great role on The Good Wife.
And love him.
I've always wanted to read his memoir. I just get the biggest kick out of him. But he... is hosting, this is what Neil Justin, it's on Peacock tonight.
Okay.
He hosts the world's most tedious murder mystery dinner with a guest list that includes a bunch of veterans from reality TV shows like Survivor and Upper Deck. These are folks you wouldn't want anywhere near your house. The game doesn't make much sense, but it's sort of fun watching the Tony-winning actor vamp about a Scottish castle like a Shakespearean villain, savoring every chance he gets to say murder. So it's a murder mystery dinner
Alan Cummings.
With, you know, people who've been on Upper Deck and Survivor and stuff, and he's the host. One of the most horrible dates that Casey ever...
I know you did.
...booked for us was... He planned a date for us to go to a murder mystery date in costume.
Mm.
In costume. Lori, Grant, Lori was so...
And I did it.
I would say no. I did it.
And he was like Klaus...
St. Cloud or something.
I don't know where it was. He was Klaus von something, and he had... He's the one who had to wear suspenders and a beret and look like... Because we got a sign before the thing. Yeah. And I remember just saying to him afterwards, I said, you know, we can just go out to dinner or go to a dive bar and go dancing.
Have to show up.
We never need to do one of these things again.
Say, you laid it down. You laid it down.
It's so fun. That's just so funny.
That just was not my idea of a date. I am not an actor.
Really?
I'm an actor in my own life.
I know.
And then Bling Empire, New York, starts tomorrow.
Oh.
Dorothy has moved to New York, and now we're going to see a bunch of new rich people in New York. That's happening on Peacock, or on Netflix tomorrow.
Well, you know what else is happening tonight on Netflix?
What?
That 90s Show. Comes out tonight on Netflix.
Are you going to watch that?
Oh, I'm going to binge as much as I can of it tonight. I cannot wait.
Casey and I are so sucked into Kaleidoscope. There's no way we can stop watching it.
Oh, really?
No.
I'm sucked into the Australian Open.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
There's a ton of U.S. men and women that
are young people.
They're good. They're good.
That's good to hear. We need some superstars, you know?
No, there's a ton of young.
How's our Coco Gauff doing?
Well, I don't know. I think she played again today. I don't know the results yet because it airs overnight.
But also a little accidental sports talk. The Vikings have fired their defensive coordinator, Ed Donatell. Thank God. If anybody is listening and they know they're a Vikings fan, they know who we're talking about. The man that led the worst defense I've ever seen in my entire life just got fired 10 minutes ago.
I eavesdropped on Casey, Julia's brother, talking to the other brother, my husband, talking to them about this very thing, that somebody on the defensive team needed to be let go immediately.
They never modified. They never tried anything different. They were so horrible.
Oh.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it's sad that the man lost his job, but you know what?
No, it isn't.
No.
They get paid a lot
this
of money.
This is the world of coaching, aren't they? You don't.
If you're not good, you get fired.
You got to move on. Yeah.
Julia, our boyfriend from Emily in Paris, he walked. He was our boyfriend from the first year, but the second year we didn't love him. But
I did not love him.
He plays sexy chef Gabriel in Emily in Paris, and he walked. Know. He walked the runway for the Louis. He was Louis Gabriel Nucci show. Never even heard of the designer.
Him.
And Stefano Giano, who played Jennifer Coolidge's one night stand in The White Lotus, the Italian with the tiny todger, remember when we saw him?
Oh, yeah.
We were like, wow, that was disappointing. Height and size and depth wise, everything we were seeing.
It wasn't proportional.
I do not engage with her.
Yeah, but he modeled in it too. He had to wear a baby blue suit and a mesh. A crop top on the catwalk, and Lucas Brava wore a long floor-length shoulder-padded gray coat right out of 1985, and then his face was blood-spattered.
Yeah, that's weird.
I lost my lady boner for him.
You did, didn't you? I did too.
Big-time Lucas Brava, so bad. They dressed him in funny clothes this year. They made him look silly. Whatever happened to what he was wearing when he was out visiting us to promote it. I lost it.
Yes.
Big time.
Yes.
Something happened.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, this guy who presented the fashion show, Louis Gabriel Nucci, he was inspired by Bret Easton Ellis's novel, American Psycho, which does take place in the 80s when men wore long shoulder padded, long dust, you know, coats to the. I don't like it then. I don't like it now. I always think you look like a creep.
And especially if it has a yoke on the back.
Oh, yeah, a yoke. And it goes all the way down to the floor, and you've got black latex gloves. Oh, yeah. Come on in. Let's have drinks. You look like my kind of a guy. Oh, you've already got your latex gloves on for when you're going to do something bad later. Great. I mean, honestly.
You already have your latex glove on it when you're going to touch my neck strongly later.
Did you ever read that horrible book, American Psycho, and then it became a movie?
No.
I read the book back in the day, and it was horribly fascinating and good, but then I remember, I mean, for like a year, I was watching over my shoulder and very careful about who I was dating. It was like watching Mr. Goodbar, Mr. Goodbar. But remember how we started being careful after that?
I hated that movie too.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't mean to laugh, but I just, that's funny.
Oh, no, these books.
Anyway, the photos are posted of Lucas.
We want to do with them what you will. I want Lukey back.
Yeah, right.
I don't like this one. All right, we will be back tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out with us. Remember, voting on the My Talkies is live. Go vote as many times from different places.
Job done. Off you go.